Welcome, everybody. This is Bo Mitchell. Program is You Get the Blessing, and you're listening to the Beatles.
There are places I remember.
That's enough from the boys today. We play some music like that every week just to capture your attention, let you know we're back. You Get the Blessing exists, however, for more than just Beatles music. We exist to introduce you each week to special guests that we think are impacting this community, this world for Jesus Christ and the cause of, and causes of his kingdom. And today our special guest is Jeff Bramstead. And Jeff, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We've got a lot to cover here in a short time with you, Jeff, because you have lived quite a full life, and I appreciate that you come out and share your life with our men's group, Narrow Gate, which meets at 11:30 on Wednesdays, every Wednesday at Glenmore Country Club. Don't be scared to come into a country club. It's a good place. They serve good food, and the men in our group just love you, Jeff.
Fun bunch of guys, you know, everybody from you know, the business leaders to you know, got some amazing veterans that are in there, you know, and just these guys are always just so welcoming. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun getting in there too. And before, you know, we get into the word, we hang out and fellowship for a while. And there's a couple guys that just have some amazing stories. So, you know, it's a lot of fun.
No stories is good or better than yours though. So let's start with your story. Where were you born and raised?
Oh, that's two different places. So I was born in East St. Louis. So if you got your geography down, not super good place to be from.
I hear it's the one of the most impoverished spots in the whole country.
It's insane. It's nuts. And there's times where my mom said, I ended up actually growing up in Wisconsin, but I have family down in the Boot Heel of Missouri, down in the southeast corner. And when you go from Wisconsin down to the Boot Heel, you got to go through St. Louis. I take the 55 right down through there. And my mom, when I was a little kid, I remember my mom taking a wrong exit and ending up in East St. Louis.
Oops.
And she didn't stop for stop signs. She was blowing red lights. I don't know if we were more in danger from, like, getting in a car accident and then being stuck on the road somewhere, or my mom's driving, but yeah, she was scared. Yeah, she was trying to get us out of there.
One of our great Denver Nuggets, LaFonso Ellis, was from East St. Louis, and because of LaFonso and Richard Beach, who's a great minister here in Denver, I think we, for 6 years, went to East St. Louis, a group of us from Denver, and ran a camp for those kids there from the city, and it was pretty amazing. In fact, Fonz used to tell me, he, as a little kid, he and his family would huddle in their living room, and they could see the dirt through the walls of their home, and they'd hide, they'd huddle with guns because they were so afraid of what might happen. So you were born in a tough place, but went from there to where?
So I was born in East St. Louis, and then I was abandoned at the hospital, actually by my biological mother, but not for. You know, just yeah, she was older. She was poor. She didn't know what to do with me, and I was adopted. Still a baby when I was adopted, but by a young pastor and his wife, who was a nurse. And they lived in Cuba, Missouri, which is you know an hour or so, hour and a half to the west of St. Louis. And when you know, my dad had a small little Lutheran church there, and then, you know, about 2 years after that, then my dad got moved, and we ended up in central Wisconsin, and that's where I ended up growing up. So, yeah, so Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin is where I grew up. I'm half black and half Italian, And if you know anything about central Wisconsin, it's very white. That was the darkest thing for 200 miles in any direction, and on the swim team. So I didn't. There were two things that didn't make sense. And so my parents wouldn't let me play football because I was too little. So I ended up on the swim team and also running track in high school and before. And you know, it was one of those things where had I done what I wanted to do, I probably would have ended up injured in a way where I wouldn't have been able to do the other things that I was able to do in my life. And God was setting me up from a very early stage to do what it is that I've done so far. And I, now, in retrospect, I'm so thankful that my parents, you know, were so staunch in making sure that I had a different background than what I had intended or what my plan was for myself.
My dad did that for me, too. When we moved to Denver, he said, I think you're a baseball player, so I wouldn't run the risk of injury. You're not playing football anymore. So
there you go.
I quit football. And, yeah, sometimes you can't see, as it's happening, the hidden hand of God at work through your parents saying, do this, don't do that. But sometimes it's just good to listen and follow instructions.
Yep, absolutely.
So I was going to say, at what point did your own faith come alive? Your dad's a pastor of a small Lutheran church, and obviously pointing you in the right direction. But when did faith issues start making sense to you?
Well, after I got into the SEAL teams, I did things myself. I did it my own way, and you know how that works out.
So they were saying the right things, but it wasn't your time to hear it yet.
Exactly. In fact, the way that it was for me, just it has a lot to do with you know, the kind of like the church culture that I grew up in. And Jesus was a focus point, and rightfully so. But there's other things you have to know. Like, you have to know that there's an enemy. You have to know what the enemy's plan is. I mean, part of going into battle is knowing what the battle plan is. And part of that battle plan is knowing that there's an enemy and they are going to fight you. They are going to fight you regardless of whether you fight back or not. So these are things I didn't really understand. I thought the devil was a little cute little four-year-old that showed up on my doorstep every Halloween, said trick-or-treat with a, you know, little Halloween costume on. But now fully understanding that now, in retrospect, I can see how the enemy was lively and at work to try to derail me early on, so that I wasn't able to step into what it is that God called me to do. However, God's plan always trumps whatever the devil's plan is, because the devil is not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. You know, all he can do is recognize the Jesus in you, the fact that we were created in the likeness of God. That's what he recognizes. He sees your potential, and he sees where it is that you're going in a general sense. Like, man, and I mean greatness, or somebody that he doesn't necessarily have to focus on, because you know, go ahead and drive yourself into the ground. And so I was one of those kids that had to go ahead and experiment with all the crazy that life has to offer. And doing it as a Navy SEAL isn't always the safest thing to do.
And so that you became a Navy SEAL at what age?
I was about 20 years old. 20 years old, and
training took place where?
So that was in San Diego, California, and there's a little island out in the bay. It's called Coronado. Many people have heard of it.
I love it.
Oh yeah, people think it's this beautiful, wonderful place. Well, for me, Coronado means something completely different. I think that Santa Claus does not have his shop in Coronado because the North Pole is warmer. That's my honest feeling. People, when I was at high school, after high school, and I'm in Buds, my high school buddies are saying, "Oh, you poor baby, you're going to SEAL training in Coronado."
Yeah.
I was in SEAL training for about 5 minutes, and I realized that I think their idea of Coronado and reality are two completely different things.
Yeah. Absolutely. I used to sit there on the deck at the Hotel Del and watch you guys train out there in the freezing water.
Yeah. Did you have fun doing that? Good.
I did. I enjoyed watching you. So how long does that take, that intense training?
It's roughly a year from the time that you step foot in the front door of SEAL training until you are out the back door with your trident, with your insignia. But the actual intense physical part is only about 6-7 months long, and that's the real grinder right there.
And what do you need? What do you need to be to become a Navy SEAL? Just some of the qualities, some of the characteristics.
Well, you have to be a little bit fit. A little bit crazy, somewhat nuts and certifiable. There's probably a little bit of you have to have not been caught as a youngster by the law.
So you got to be a little bit willing to go out there and do some strange things.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. There's a and I say that jokingly. You know, you have to have not been caught because they are going to do a very thorough background investigation on you. I mean, you're going to have security clearances that are extremely high. There's going to be, you're going to have, family secrets that they want to make sure that you're not going to want to sell, so they have to make sure that you're financially stable. So they actually check your credit report. They're going to interview. They're going to come to your town. They're going to interview your people that were acquaintances of yours growing up, what kind of person are you. They really get into your stuff. You're going to have to fill out some pretty interesting paperwork. And that's just the start of it. Then there's the psychological exams, and there's the physical side of it, and there's the academic side of it, just to make sure you're smart enough. And it's arduous. So if you take 1,000 guys that want to go in the front door, buds, of those 1,000 guys, 100 are going to be able to go in the front. They're going to be able to get to the front door of SEAL training.
Well, hang on just a second. We're talking to Jeff Bramstead. He's our guest today on You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, your host, and he's describing for us now what it's like in part to train to be a Navy SEAL, which he was for 12 years. So give us just a highlight reel, the worst of the worst physical part that you had to go through.
Well, everybody's going to have a different opinion on that. For me, it was probably the cold. It's insanely cold. Sorry, it's got some beeps and buzzes going on over here. There's some aspects to the cold that are it's people would say to me, you're from Wisconsin, you're used to it being below zero in the winter. How come are you so cold? I'm like, it's 44 degrees out. The water's 55 degrees. We've been in it all night.
Oh my!
It's like it's a different kind of cold. It's not a burr, I'm cold, better put on a jacket. No, this is a to the bone, chill you to the bone, make you angry, change your psychological composition, make you do things and say things that you wouldn't normally say. Type of cold.
And so is it almost scary, like this is dangerous, something bad's going to happen to me here?
Absolutely. In fact, I got hypothermia. We were out on the beach, and it was 2 in the morning, and the instructors made us stand there after coming in and out of the surf zone a whole bunch. We're standing there on the beach. You had to stand there with your legs more than shoulder width apart and your arms out straight out from your side. So kind of like the anatomical man, you kind of standing there like that. And next thing I remember is just seeing the ground coming up at my face really fast, and I was just laying there, and then I guess they came out, scooped me up, carried me back to the ambulance, put me in the ambulance until I could talk again, because I was in there for about 15 minutes, got me warmed up enough to where I could actually speak, and then they asked me if I wanted to quit, and that was a tough one right there, and I said, you can't make me quit. And then they picked me up out of the ambulance and they threw me back out where they found me.
Went
right back to being cold. It's nuts how cold it actually can get. But some other guys have different stresses. For me, I was a skinny little kid, you know, that wasn't even done growing yet. And so I didn't have any fat on me. I was just shivering all the time. So you have some guys who had that extra layer. They were older. They were probably 26, 27 years old. They were already fully physically mature. They had other things. They couldn't recover quickly. So from the really arduous training that happens every day, they might not have been able to get over the long runs that day before, and so their legs are really bothering them because we ran 13 miles a day. That's just for transportation. That doesn't count the timed runs, things like that. That's just going from one evolution to another. Run 13 miles a day doing that, and then it's the amount of time you spend in the water and the amount of time that you spend under stress. So
and this is all to prepare you for ultimately. What did you face?
So it's ultimately to prepare you for entering into the SEAL community where you're going to be required to do things that are extremely difficult under extreme circumstances and be able to suffer in silence and just knowing that you've had the gut check. So all it does is just get you in the club. Now, as soon as you get into the SEAL teams, it basically starts over again. So now, you show up at the SEAL team, you're a new guy. Now it's putting to work and honing the skills that you learned in BUDS. In BUDS, all you did was just, you know, it's like just getting, you know, it's just you learn one thing about yourself in BUDS that you can take a punch over and over and over and over and over again. Now that you're in the teams, now you have to learn the skills and learn the craft and learn the art of shooting and learn the skill of doing precision combat swimmer underwater, going from one place to another, sometimes 3-4 miles, and doing bearing and distance changes till you get to your target and planning your explosives and then doing the whole thing backwards. So there's a lot to take in. But then comes Now you're in a SEAL team, like you're with your platoon, and it's time to train together so that you know each other very well. You guys work together as a unit, that you can finish each other's sentences and look at somebody and see how they're standing and knowing what they're thinking. And then after a year and a half of training together, then you go out and go on deployment, and then you're going to go where it is that you're required to go based on what is ever happening in the world theater at the time. And when you're out there, it's the things that are going to be asked of a SEAL team are not things that are going to be normally asked of a conventional force unit. And so it gets a little bit sometimes stressful for the guys, because these are family guys. These are guys with kids and guys with wives and with a home, and people that they miss. And then they're out there doing things that are really, really, really tough. And so when these guys do come home, now it's time for them to switch off the SEAL guy and turn on the dad guy and the husband guy. And that gets really tough for the guys. And so some of the toughest things that, you know, you asked me a question, like what was some of the tough things, like what was next? The tough thing for me was always coming home.
Right. And then you got to be this other guy and say, put this to the side, and it's
right.
Not what you've just been trained to do. And you did this for 12 years and then retired?
Yep, I did 13 years in the military, and then I got medically retired. I got a disease that kind of sidelined me. It was called coccidiomycosis. It kind of turned me into a 100-year-old guy. I spent about a year in bed. 6 months in bed, and another 6 months just, you know, trying to budget my energy. It was pretty rough. I lost about 50 pounds, but I got past that. I was able to recover, and keep on, you know, trucking with life. I just stepped out of the military and stepped into ministry, and I spent a lot of time in Hollywood as a stunt guy. So I did that for quite a while. In fact, I'm in 18 years now. So trying to sort of slow that down a little bit. But yeah, it's been just as interesting since I got out of the military as it was in the military.
And let's talk about Common Man coming up, the event at the First Bank Center in Broomfield on May 12th of this year, 6 o'clock. What's going to happen there?
So Life of Valor is our men's event. Our men's event that we're doing, it's called Common Man, Uncommon Life. It's in Broomfield at the First Bank Center. It starts at 6 p.m. on a Friday, and that's all it's going to be, from 6 until 11. We're not going to take up your whole weekend. We want you to spend time with your family. We're not going to require large amounts of time from you, but this 5 hours is going to be revolutionizing in every guy that shows up that commits to seeing his life different, no matter how good or bad things are in this guy's life. If he commits to hearing what God is saying to him, he's going to hear something that he is going to take from this that's going to change the way he does business in his head and his heart and ultimately his home. This is going to be an event that's created for every guy, and it's something that we've geared it more towards the youth, towards younger people, so it's going to look a little more like a youth event because of the way guys are wired. You can go to any Hollywood movie and you can see these guys, when they film, when they make a movie, they're going to change the camera angle about every 3 seconds, and they do that just because of our millennial generation, the way that they think, just because of the video games and the way that information hits them. Their brains work much differently than mine did and yours did when we were younger. And so we're gearing this event towards that. The worship music is going to be a little more aggressive. We brought in Seventh Day Slumber for worship. Things are going to be clipping along. It's going to be things are going to be happening pretty quick, and then all of a sudden we're going to bring it down, slow it down, and then we're going to have somebody up there who's going to speak truth, and they're going to get 30 minutes of real, just face to face with something.
It looks like you have a great speakers panel, including you.
Including me. I'm going to give it a shot. So we have Remy Adeleke, who's a really good friend of mine from the SEAL community, amazing communicator. And then Chad Williams, who's also a former Navy SEAL. He has a book out called Seal of God. I encourage people to take a look at that. You can look at these guys if you go to our website, which is lifeofvalor.com. And you can go to the speakers. You can click on their faces. Just put your cursor right on their face, and a link will come up, and you'll be able to see some of the other things that these guys have done, some things that they may have written. Remy is one of the I Am Second guys, so you'll be able to see his testimony and hear how he communicates. And so, and then we just had a conversation yesterday with another guy who we're probably going to be bringing on, and it's one that everybody's probably going to know who he is. And but I can't say quite yet, just because he hasn't fully committed, but it's looking pretty good. But you'll want to keep your eye to the website and to our event posters, see who that is. But it's going to be a good time.
If there's no speakers other than you, Jeff, it'll still be a great evening, because you're good at what you do, and you're a great guest for us here today. So you're listening to the voice of retired Navy SEAL Jeff Bramstead, who also now leads the Life of Valor Men's Ministry. And the event we're talking about is called Common Man. It's going to be May 12th, 6 o'clock. There's group charges you can get, individual charges, and it's money well spent if you'll come join that evening. As Jeff just said, impactful, change your life type stuff. And so wherever you are today, just lock in your mind. Is it lifeofvalor.org?
It's lifeofvalor.com is where you can go. You can buy your tickets there. You can read about the event there. I'm seeing yesterday Jim Copeland, our conference director, he and I were just having breakfast, and we were out in Castle Rock somewhere yesterday. There was a poster on the wall of the event, and you know, some guys walking by, and it seems to be catching people's attention. It's a pretty aggressive looking poster. You probably haven't seen a men's event poster quite like this one, or even just the rave card. Go to the website, take a look at it. You will definitely want to research the people that are involved with this thing. People are going to be up there on the stage. The stage is going to be insane. It's going to have 7 screens up there. It's going to be loud. It's going to be fun. It's going to be there's going to be a roller coaster that we're going to ride that day. And I want, if you are in earshot of this right now, of Bo and I having this conversation, you need to go and not buy one ticket, but get two. The whole point of this thing is that we've set the pricing right. This isn't $80 and $100, and you know, this is it's gonna cost you $39, and buy one for you, buy one for somebody else, and get somebody there who doesn't know Jesus. Get somebody there who's having a struggle, having a hard time. They're wondering what to do. Their back is up against the wall. They've painted themselves into a corner. Whatever their issue is, it doesn't matter. Bring them here and let them get some encouragement. This is not a beat guys up. This is an encouragement to guys. And ladies, if you are hearing this, you want your husband there. We are going to do nothing but make him better for you. If you have a boyfriend, you want him there. If you have a son, you want him there. We want to stock this nation with amazing men for the women who are looking for great guys. That's what this is about. We want to change lives. We want to rob hell, and we want to make sure that people, men, are equipped to be who that they've been designed by God to be.
That's well put, my friend, and thank you for organizing this thing. And Jim Copeland's a great guy. I appreciate him and the way he goes about his life and business. But come on, everybody, you listeners now, lifeofvalor.com, and look up the men's event, Common Man, Uncommon Life, May 12th. Jeff, you've been a great guest today on You Get the Blessing. We appreciate what your life stands for and how you express that. And to hear Jeff like you just did on the radio is nothing compared to hearing him in person. So get face-to-face with Jeff and the rest of these great speakers, great music, and enthusiasm you're going to experience on May 12th at the Common Man event. Thanks for tuning in to You Get the Blessing today. Thank you, Jeff, for being my guest.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's been great talking to you.
See you guys next week.